I have been wanting to share something for a while. And it was really strange. Yesterday I was wondering, am I on the right track? I was really just thinking about that when my phone rang. And it was my friend Lonnie Shields from Grand Rapids, Michigan. And he said, I was thinking about you and I was praying over you. And he said, I just was contemplating maybe calling. And he says, I looked up and he said, I saw a license plate from Ohio. And the sticker on the back of the car was Estelle Chevrolet in Defiance. He said, I thought I must need to call Tim. He said, so what's going on? And I said, well, I don't know. You know, we chatted a little bit. And he says, do you need anything? And I said, I don't think so. I wasn't thinking about, you know, being confirmed about today's message. And I had a couple of different ones floating around in my head. And he started to tell me about a message that a lady had shared with him, a missionary had shared with him. And the message was that God told her, you know, build the church. Build the church. And he was just all excited about this message about church. And I thought, a message about church. That was one of my two choices. Actually, I have hundreds of choices. How many of you know? I only have one message, and it's hundreds and hundreds of hours long. And I just preach portions of it. But yeah, he said church. And I went, okay then. I'm going to talk about church. Now, this is kind of an unusual message, and most of you have heard me preach on the church, and I might not say anything at all new today for you, but I might put some things together in a way that will help you. One of the jobs that we're supposed to do when we gather together like this is we're supposed to build up the saints, equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So if what I say today can be repeated by you, all the better. And at the same time, maybe you'll feel like when you're done, when I'm done, I could never say that the way he says that. That's okay, because it will be available after today. The remnant of this will still be up on Facebook. By the way, welcome Facebook, folks. Glad you're there. I'm going to be talking to you in a minute. And yeah, you. And so maybe you wouldn't be able to deliver this or share this. And I'm not sure I'm going to share it. I mean, I'm going to really try hard, because this is something that I've just been wanting to say, but I want to be careful how I say it. So maybe you won't feel like you can say it, but you can give it away. Like, you can get the location of this. It'll be on YouTube. It'll be on our website. It'll be in video. It'll be in audio. You'll be able to share this with somebody. And I think this is something that we, the Church of Jesus Christ in America, need to do a better job of sharing with all of the other Christians in America, especially Christians who no longer go to church. So today, this is a message for those who no longer go to church. And sometimes that's some of y'all. You catch me by happenstance, or you happen to be, you know, on my friend list, or you're on the friend list of somebody who shares the message, and then you pop in and then you start listening. And I want you to get something, and I want all of you to get something that you can give to some of the people who maybe are on Facebook and can't get to church. That's one thing. It's one thing you can't get to, and it's another thing if you don't get to. And a lot of people have given up on church, and I think you'll understand when I'm done that I understand that, but that I believe God wants to change that. So I do want to start out with a disclaimer. If any of you, or if anyone listening to this later or watching it later on YouTube, if someone gave you this message and said you should listen to it, don't be mad at them. They love you. Okay? And I want you to understand, it's because I care about you, because we as churched people care about people who are unchurched, and there's a good reason for it. So listen to what I've got to say and consider, if you will, the possibilities that there might be something here that's beneficial to you. There are a lot of people who love Jesus, really love him. There are probably some people who love him more than me that don't fit or feel like they fit or aren't connected anywhere. And I believe God has a reason for this thing we call church. So, and by the way, some people have left church for really good reasons. I'm going to talk about some of those a little bit later. Some people have left church, and I don't blame them. I really don't. And I'll get to that, but first a little context. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 16, if you want to join me and turn there. And again, if you have somebody that you can, if you want to share this on Facebook or somebody you want to tag, that's awesome. But and welcome to everybody who is watching. So Matthew chapter 16, and starting with verse 13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And so they said, "Well, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." There's just tons there to teach on. I want to focus on one thought. One thought. On this rock, I will build my church. Some people think that the word rock there is referring back to Peter. But the word Peter really means pebble. The rock is the rock of revelation of who Jesus is. And that rock of revelation of who Jesus is what he said he would build his church on. Now, over the years that I've been here, most of you have heard me say this, but church was not my idea. I didn't come up with the idea of church. It's not a concept that I planned on. I didn't even really care much for what I thought church was when I first became a Christian, to be honest with you. Church was something Jesus had in mind. Now, that doesn't mean that what we're doing here today is exactly what Jesus had in mind. I want to be careful with that. Somebody says, "Oh, so the way you do church is exactly what Jesus had in mind." I don't think Jesus actually had in mind a specific way of doing church. Because church isn't something so much that you do, it's something that you be. And we'll maybe say more about that. But if you're a believer and you don't go to church because you don't like how they're doing it, or maybe you don't even come to this church because you don't like how we're trying to do it, I would like to suggest that you might be surprised to realize that I somewhat agree with you. What? You're the pastor. Can't you do it church any way you want? Oh, I wish. See, you guys don't know what it was like when I got saved. Well, maybe some of you do. This church is far from perfect. The church in the United States, the churches of the United States, the churches of the world are all a work in progress. And I believe there is much that is yet to be seen. So how we do church today is probably going to change. How many of you, church has changed since you were young? It's different. Yeah, church is always changing. And there's a reason for that. And I've heard people say, I just don't like the organized church. I hear you. Me either. The organized part of the church is the part that I don't like the most. It's really hard to organize church. Some pastors have said it's kind of like herding cats. I was born again during the Jesus movement. I grew my hair long to be a Christian. Because the people in the church, with all their nice suits and their nice haircuts, weren't as excited about Jesus as the hippies. The hippies, the Jesus freaks that were getting saved, the Jesus people movement. It was awesome. And so we met wherever we could gather to gather. So we met in the shelter houses out at Rising Park. We would go out to Rising Park and grab a shelter house. Or if the weather was particularly nice, we'd go up on Mount Pleasant and look out over Lancaster. It was fabulous. Such a cool place to meet. Or we would meet in the back room of some building. Like there was this bookstore that had a back room and a bunch of us met in there. At one point, there was like 175 of us showing up on a Tuesday night. And we would beat on guitars and sing songs, choruses, four-line choruses, over and over and over and over and over and over. Some of you remember that? Same thing. But God's presence would show up and we would have a good time and we would love on each other. So we sat on the floor. That's another thing. See, these chairs are restrictive. If we were going to do church the way I want to do it, I'd just get rid of all the pews. Yeah, I don't think that would be a good idea for some of us, would it? But we'd have an awesome time trying to pray for healing every time we had to help some of you get up. It was, I got to tell you, it was really cool. In fact, sometimes it was downright cold. Because those shelter houses didn't have any heat. And sometimes the back room, somebody forgot to turn on the heat. And we would run around trying to figure out where we could meet in the wintertime. I knew one girl. She never wore a pair of shoes the whole time I knew her. For like 5 years, she was coming to the Jesus People thing. And she never wore shoes. Winter, summer, spring, and fall. She would jump out of a car and run into the back of this one old building that we had. Where we had tie-dyed curtains. Because some of the girls wanted to decorate it and make it look nice. So then they figured out they were going to make it look nice. And what they did was, you'll love this. Our artist type people will love this. They had like 5 different boxes of dye. And they were going to do these tie-dye with these curtains that they had sewn up somehow. And they were like, well, what color should we do? And somebody said, well, let's just throw them all in together. Make one, and we ended up with brown curtains. That was exactly what happened. We had brown tie-dyed curtains over the windows. It was weird. First church of the cows. Big splotches on it. It was crazy. And when it got cold and we, you know, the places where we, you know, We had to meet, and sometimes we had to borrow places to meet. And guess where we ended up meeting after a while? Church buildings. We had these churches that would open up a room to us and let us meet in their church, so we'd have church. Of course, we couldn't have church when they were having church, so then we had to figure out when we were going to have church. So then we had to have a specific time on a specific day, and the church would open up their doors to us. And then we started growing up and getting jobs and getting married. And then we needed more rooms because we had kids. So we needed rooms for the kids and rooms for the adults and you know, more coordination of our activities. Made one location, you know, kind of more of a better idea, and then our own location, and it changed the dynamics of our gatherings until one day, oh crap, we're the organized church. That's how it works, boys and girls. We went from being this really crazy bunch of hippies to, you know, people with kids, and we needed places to meet, and we needed teachers to teach Sunday school and things to happen, and we needed organization, and I hated organization. So here's the reality. The very nature of gathering together in an assembly is to assemble. The word church is ekklesia. And it means an assembly, a gathering. If you gather together, you'll begin to assemble. And when you begin to assemble, things get put together. When you assemble something, it means that that thing gets organized into something that the pieces alone don't automatically make on their own. Does this make sense to anybody but me? So I know people are afraid of the organized church sometimes. It still gives me the heebie-jeebies, but we need to know when we're going to meet. We need to have an idea of what we're going to do. We need to have a little bit of some planning helps. It just does. So Jesus had this idea that we would get together and be something that we can't be just by ourselves individually. Don't forget, by the way, that this is being preached this morning by someone who is a pastor of a church that's called Bethel. And when you look at our sign, if you watch carefully, and most of us know what this means, it says, be the one. Because I believe the goal of this church is to gather us together, to equip us so that we can go out and be the one who does the stuff that God wants us to do. So I do believe in the individual ability of the individual Christian, but I also believe in the gathered ability of God's people together. And I think he wants us to do both. Are we doing church exactly the way it should be done? A better question might be, is anyone doing church exactly the way it should be done? Exactly the way it should be done. I would propose to you that there will be an appearance of the church in heaven someday, and then we'll know exactly how it should be done. Until then, we're doing the best we know how. We just are. So, if we're not doing it the way it should be done, then what's missing? What's missing? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Because I believe we'll become more like Jesus and we'll become more like what Jesus had in mind if we can find the missing piece. And I think I know what the missing piece is. The missing piece is you. That's right. It's all of you, each of you, every one of you, and every one of you who might hear this message and you've given up on the church. See, sometimes you know something, something important. If the missing piece is you, then maybe your voice is going to help us find our way to being more like what we will ultimately be when it's all said and done and Jesus has finished all things. So let's try a few metaphors to help clarify this a little bit. Metaphor number one, a building. Most of us know that in America, we call the building we meet in the church. Not really a good thing in some ways. It's a problem. 1 Peter 2, 4 and 5 says, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's what we've been doing today. We gathered as a house, in the house, and we've been offering up sacrifices of praise. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's part of what we do. But note that we are all as living stones. Our church, to be honest, is missing a lot of pieces. Today, some pieces are missing because maybe they weren't well or didn't feel good and didn't get here. But the truth of the matter is, we're not missing those pieces because they'll be here pretty regularly. They'll be a part of us. But we are missing some pieces because they aren't going anywhere. How many of you know somebody who loves Jesus? They really, really do, but they don't go to church. Yeah. Some of us know those folks. We know those folks. Some of you might be those folks. I get it. We are way more holy. H-O-L-E-Y. Holy than we ought to be. too many holes in what God wants to build here. Too many seats that could be filled. I don't want to just fill seats, though, by the way. I'd rather just have the number of seats that we have and less people in the seats, but they really, really fit in. They really, really know where they belong. They really, really connect as living stones built together. That is an awesome thing when it happens. But there are a lot of people who should be part of this house or a house somewhere. They fit in, but they're not. They're not part of that. And there's a gap in the wall. There's an empty space where they belong. There's something missing. A missing piece. Without some of our living stones, we're just not as strong as we're supposed to be. You know, I've heard people say, the church doesn't need me. That's just not true. That's just not true. We need everyone. So you are needed. And when all of you are built into that spiritual house, then the breach that the enemy might take advantage of is filled. And when he wants to take advantage of that breach, he wants to take it to affect other believers, and he wants to take it to affect the believer who should be in that gap. Does that make sense to everybody? All right, good. I want to make sure I wasn't losing you. The next metaphor, and I could preach on the whole, you know, us being built together thing. I could do a message all by myself or all by itself just on that topic. But I want to move on to another metaphor, a body. Colossians 1:24 says, "Now I rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up in my flesh what was lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church." There's a lot of verses that talk about his body being the church. All of us have heard the things that Paul said, but let me quote just a little bit of what Paul said concerning the body, the church. Verse 15 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. "If the foot should say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling?" It's a really neat passage. Go there sometime and read the whole thing. I've heard people say, "The church is dysfunctional." Duh. It's partly true. Why? Well, maybe we're missing some parts. A body that doesn't have all of its parts doesn't function as well as a body that has all its parts. Oh my goodness. Is it that hard to figure out? It might be that we just can't see straight for lack of an eye. Or some of the things that we have mishandled have been mishandled because we didn't have the hands that actually had the skill to handle it. I'm over here trying to fix something with the eye. And the eye is like, if I only had a hand. I can see what needs done, but I just can't do anything. I've heard people say, "Boy, you guys are really missing it." But you know, we don't always know that we're missing it because we can't see what some people see. Oops. If I don't have the eyes to see what we're missing, how do I know what we're missing? Well, if you guys would just get it together, well, how are we going to get it together? Oh, together. We get it together, together. There's an idea. The last metaphor, and I could go on and on and on and on and on about the body. I've already jumped past. I've had bunny trails jump up into my head already. I've dismissed them. We're going on. The last metaphor is a bride. We've talked about a building. We've talked about a body. Now we're going to talk about a bride. Yeah, some of you are witnessing a miracle. You just don't know it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27 says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, having not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." Not holy as in having a hole in her, but holy as in being set apart. The church is meant to be the bride. You know, it's really easy to love him, but that woman sometimes. I've had it up to here with that woman. That church woman. That bride of Christ thing, you know. Poor Jesus. I feel so bad for him. That woman he's stuck with is all spotty and wrinkly. How many of you know it's true? She's not arrived yet. She's not. He's going to present her to himself when he's finished. But right now, he's not finished. I love hanging with him, but she's just disgusting. Ew. She's so worldly. Here's the thing. While the bride may be blemished now, she is going to be glorious. If she could just get her missing foot back, she would be able to dance. If she just didn't have that ear growing out of her forehead, she'd be so much easier to look at. Just as much as the church is missing people, people are missing the church. When we work together, we make every part of the body better. I know it's not perfect. Actually, I think that Jesus knew it wouldn't be perfect. How many think he might have known? I think the church is messy. Because it's supposed to be. And I know it can get really, really, really messy sometimes. And I know, okay, I know it's a lot of work. But the intimacy that the bride is supposed to bring is like that. Imagine a wedding service. I've said this before, so this isn't new, but I think it goes well here. Imagine a wedding ceremony where the officiant is standing up. I'm gonna do this little bunny trail. I've done one wedding in my life where the bride and groom had not kissed before the moment that they kissed when I pronounced them husband and wife. This is that I know of. My understanding was they had all kissed before. But we did a wedding right there. And Jonathan and Nicole became the Greavies. And the first time they ever kissed was right there. Imagine now, I pronounce you husband and wife. Jonathan leans in to kiss Nicole and she goes, "Hold up, Jack." First, his name's Jonathan, so that wouldn't have worked, but hold up. She says to him, or a bride says to the groom in a wedding, "I love you, but let's not start getting our beautiful loved all messed up by swap and spit. That's kind of gross. There's germs, problems. I got problems with that. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to move to California. You stay right here and work hard. Send me some epistles and I'll read them. Letters. And you got my number, right? Good. We can talk every day during morning devotions. And I'll post some cool stuff about how much I love you for everyone to see on Facebook. It'll be simple, safe, clean, and uncomplicated. Our love will be amazing." How many of you know that's not going to produce life? There'll be no fruit. That's not real love. That's fantasy love. That's pretend love. Life is a mess. Anybody besides me ever notice that? Did you women realize how much of a mess that man was going to be? If he just wouldn't throw his underwear in the corner.
What do you mean, my mess? I can't even find the daggone sink top in the bathroom. Talk about a mess. Just a little makeup. The mess. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, we all know the mess is where we learn to love. And this, what we're doing this morning, sometimes it goes really good, and I go out of the church, and I'm like, yeah, oh, wow, that was awesome this morning. And then some days I go out of the church, and you, wow, that was this morning. And, you know, you just wonder, and things get messy, and people do weird things, and some of you have idiosyncrasies. Not me. I'm perfectly normal. The mess is where we learn to love. The mess is where we learn to love. So someone who's watching this, someone watching the video or listening, might be thinking, well, Pastor Tim, I don't think you really understand what I've been through. I don't think you really know what it's like to be hurt by the church. Sorry if I giggle a little. I think you'd be mistaken if you think that pastors don't know what it's like to be hurt by the church. Yeah, set a preacher's kid. Pastors experience more hurt in the church than any of the other people in the church. I can just about guarantee you that. Not that pastors haven't been part of hurting people. If you've been hurt by a pastor, I apologize. I'd love to try to help fix that. There are a lot of pastors who've hurt a lot of people. I know they have. I know I have. Okay? There was a young woman once in the church in Bicknell, and she was saying something, and I thought she was mouthing off about something completely different, and I just turned to her, and I just went, and I had to go back and fix it. Sometimes you go, and you don't even know you're wrong. You think you did the right thing. You know, you're thinking, I'm just being Jesus. I just got my whip out, whooping on that person in the, you know, she was selling in the Lord's house. I wasn't going to let her sell that in my Lord's house. Sometimes you're wrong. So I know that I've made mistakes. And I know a lot of pastors who have become abusive. And I know some pastors who have hurt a lot of people. Please don't think I wish to excuse anybody's behavior. No. Not acceptable. It's one thing to observe behavior, and it's totally another thing to excuse the behavior, and I'm not excusing anyone. So stay with me. I just want to observe a couple of little realities that you may not have thought about, because you who might be watching this may not realize that most pastors became abusive after they experienced some kind of abusive thing. Sometimes they were mimicking a pastor who tutored, who mentored them, who was already abusive for whatever reason he was dealing with, and they thought that's the way to behave themselves, and they didn't get it. Every villain has been a victim. Never forget that. Every villain has been a victim. If you could see past their villainous behavior and realize that someplace down in their past, something happened to them, you'd realize and you'd say, oh, that's why they do that. And they need somebody's help, and you might be the only one on the planet who can help them. Yeah, you do. If you couldn't hear that on the tape, she said, do I have to? The answer is yes. We need you to. For every hurt a pastor has given out, it's likely that he's been hurt multiple times himself in some similar way. And someone says, well, how can you say that? Well, think for a moment with me. What do pastors do for a living? They pastor the church. So they work at the church. Uh-huh, yeah. They work with the church.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And if someone's hurt by the pastor this Sunday, what do they do next Sunday? Well, they have options. If the pastor is hurt this Sunday, what does he do next Sunday? He got no options. He has to go back. I've been in a situation before where I had a whole group of people who didn't like me. And they were going to be there on Sunday morning. And I had to go back. And I heard the things that were being said about me during the week to everybody in the community. And I still had to go back. But if you don't want to, the average churchgoer can just go, had enough of that place. Let's go try over yonder. Or they can just sleep in. Pastors don't have that option. Again, I don't want to excuse bad behavior by anybody, by pastors, by church leaders, by church members. But I understand why some people want to avoid the hurt. I've watched people who weren't trying to take any side and just couldn't stand the battle. It was too much for them, and they had to go. And by the way, if any of you are thinking about ever being, and I don't say that so much for this, but maybe somebody who's watching, you're thinking about vocationally being in ministry full time, you need to know it's going to have its moments. The church would be perfect if only we could keep out all of the imperfect people. Let me just ask, how many of you would have to leave if only perfect people could remain here? Oh, all of you. What? It's kind of like wanting to be a doctor but never wanting to be around sick people. Or wanting to be a mechanic and never wanting to get dirty. So most pastors should know what they're going to experience when they get into that response to the call. But nevertheless, they do. And then they sometimes don't do well. And then they don't have sometimes the people who need to speak. The mouth that was supposed to be on the body that was going to speak to the ear that was going to help the pastor understand what he was doing wrong. The mouth and the ear just both took off. And the pastor is deaf and dumb. He doesn't know. So for those who don't go to church because you have been hurt, trust me, I get it. I get it. I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt. If you start going to church, by the way, if you start going to church, somebody gave this to you and now you're listening to it and you're like mad at them, you want to kill them right now. Yeah, they love you. And if you start going to church, I promise, more unpleasant experiences are coming your way. But, things that you can't have by yourself are found in the building, in the body, in the bride of Christ. What if those experiences that aren't so pleasant, what if they're part of God's plan for you? What? You ready for a verse? What if it's part of God's reward system? Matthew 5:46 says, "For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even tax collectors do the same?" It's easy to love all the people who are just like you and just do everything the way you would do it. And we just all lock and march in lockstep and we're just all good. And oh, here comes Lisa. She does something weird. Get out of our church, Lisa. It's happened before to people. It happened before to Lisa. I like Lisa. She's a little weird. In fact, she's a lot weird. Come on, let's just be honest. But that out of that weirdness comes some of these paintings that she does. And out of that weirdness comes some of the artistic ability that she has. I'm not sure why she has to be weird to be artistic, because Tom's not weird and he's artistic. He's laughing louder than his wife, but deep down she's laughing harder than he is. I know this. I know this to be true.
When we learn to love those that aren't easy to love, we become more like who? Jesus. Yeah. Come on, that's what this is all about. That's why, please, send me some of those people that are a little different. It's okay. It'll be a challenge and an opportunity. All rolled into one. Yeah. I'm killing you, aren't I? Killing you. I wasn't even trying to kill you, but I'm having fun. That's why Jesus did this church thingy instead of just the belief system thingy. You know, do you realize most religions in the world, you don't have to do the church thingy. You can just do the belief system thingy. You can go off into your own little room, cross your legs, hold out your hands and go, and you're all good. You're just going to be one with the universe all by yourself. I don't need you people. I'll just go on. I'll go do my whatever thing, check out my whatevers. And they got all sorts of names for things. And I just, you know, they don't have to do church. Come back to church. If Bethel doesn't work for you, that's okay. I get it. It might be the guy that stands up front and speaks a lot. Just makes you nuts. Sometimes. I'm going to tell you right now, if I were in certain cities, there are certain preachers. If God moved me to a city, I would probably not go to certain preachers' churches, even though I respect their ability and what they've done. Do I dare say it? Yeah, I'll just say it. I think I've said it before. There's a pastor near Columbus, Ohio, named Rod Parsley. Rod has written a couple of books that I really liked. Really liked his books. I don't know what it is about the way Rod delivers it, but it just kind of, I don't know, just sometimes doesn't work for me. But yet, he's got this massive church full of people. I don't want to tell him to stop doing it the way he's doing it, because I think the way he's doing it is the way God wanted him to do it. I know people who tell me they can't listen to Bill Johnson because he pauses. To let you think. And they said they fall asleep when he pauses. It's too long. They can't keep up with that. I know people, you know, we're affiliated with Bethel and Ready. I know people who don't like Danny Silk. They say he's too silly. Or they don't like Chris Volatin because they say he sounds like a surfer, dude. I don't know. I like those guys. I can listen to those guys. When they talk, it's like God can speak through them to me. And some other people, it's like when they talk, I'm just like, yeah. I don't like guys that sound real angry all the time. There's a few out there that are really angry. I don't know what to do about that. I don't want to condemn anybody. Just, you're doing good. You keep doing your thing. And I'll just, you know, I'm just weird the way I am. I do you. Do, yeah, I'm doing me. Trying to. Jesus needs to do me some. He didn't do some things to me. What? What if? Did that not come out right? Never mind. I'll go listen to it later. I didn't understand what I said anyway. Just keep going. You know, maybe you need to come to Bethel to help us figure out what we're missing. Like, maybe if you came, we would go, oh, that's part of what we're missing. We need that part. But what if the missing part is you? Literally you. So you'll be able to give this family to some friends of yours. And maybe some friends of yours who have given up on church will give it a second thought. Maybe they won't come here, but they'll go somewhere. That's a big deal. It really is. Some of you are still hung up on what I said a while ago that I don't even know what I said. Yeah. Well, I'm almost done. Thank you, Jesus. No matter who you are, you do have a place, someplace in his building, in that wall, functioning as his body and becoming his bride. That's the reality. Each of us has that. And in that place, we experience the more of God. The more that God has for us. That's what he wants. That's what God wants each of us to have. It's a big deal. So, for our sake, for your sake, for heaven's sake, please become part of the church. And for all of us who are already in a good habit of coming to church, let's work harder on becoming the church.